We often hear doctors and therapists discuss terms like ADD, ADHD, ODD, bipolar, and a multitude of others, including an entire realm of different addictions when describing the emotional, the behavioral, and attitudinal maladies of so many young people today. But how often do they get past the malady and pinpoint the actual cause? Well, unfortunately, the answer is not often. But in a world where men, women, and the children they raise are just one click away from the must-see movie of the century, might this one click be the missing link to the digital inundation and indoctrination of today's kids? We'll find out today on Licensed to Parent. Welcome to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program for teens in crisis located just north of Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Rich Rozell, and our host and occasional filmgoer is the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill, Trace Embry. Trace, I think you and the staff at Shepherd's Hill have a distinct advantage that the rest of us probably don't have, and that is when it comes to today's topic. We're talking about the media's influence on today's youth, and here at Shepherd's Hill, you get to see just how much the emotions and the thinking process and the worldview of today's teenagers actually change for the better when they are removed from the American media glut that has captivated so many kids today.
Well, our kids are virtually sequestered from media for a year here at Shepherd's Hill, and all in a preparation for them to go back out there and not just survive the culture, but to engage it and transform it. But until they're removed from it for a season and then learn some of the damaging effects through studies and, experience the science behind some of this stuff, sure, that's really going on, they're most likely, like lemmings, going to follow the masses into the same media merry-go-round pit that, has thrashed the hearts and minds of so many kids in American culture today. We're microwaving our kids' souls, from the inside out. Listen to what Anne Frank wrote. I guess this is about 70 years ago. This is a young girl, barely into her teens. She says, "The best remedy for those who are afraid, lonely, or unhappy is to go outside, somewhere where they can be quiet, alone with the heavens, nature, and God." Mm. "Because only then does one feel that all is as it should be and that God wishes to see people happy amidst the simple beauty of nature. I firmly believe that nature brings solace in all troubles." Now, Rich, that was written by a young girl, a girl whose deeper thinking faculties didn't get the chance to get destroyed by a constant overdose of media and digital technology, which arguably could be considered the antithesis to nature.
Yeah.
She had weightier things on her mind than catching the next Miley Cyrus DVD, like maybe a world war.
Yeah, well, that's true. But, I would point out that the fact that she wrote this meant that she was still encouraging those who were subject to some sort of distraction.
Right.
It may not have been the same here. I guess it all goes to point out the fact that there really is nothing new under the sun.
Right.
What we're facing now may have a different shape on it.
Or degree.
But it's a culture that is giving in to something other than what God designed best. And she's pointed out God's creation and God's nature brings rest.
Yeah.
Our guest today, I want to jump into who we've got with us on the phone today, is a man who's an expert on the subject of media and its effects. His name is Dr. Ted Baer. And in addition to being an author, a publisher, and a movie producer himself, Dr. Baer is also the founder and publisher of Movie Guide, and he's the chairman of the Christian Film and Television Commission. He's also a noted critic, an educator, lecturer, and media pundit. Dr. Baer also writes a syndicated column for 29 publications nationwide. Millions of people visit his website each month at movieguide.org, which offers movie reviews, feature articles, books, tapes, family-friendly movie merchandise. And by the way, we also strongly recommend his book, which we'll be discussing somewhat today. It's called The Culture-Wise Family. And Trace, I think I've heard you say that should be in every parent's library today.
No doubt about it, Rich. Dr. Baer, welcome to the Licensed to Parent broadcast.
Well, it's great to be with you today.
Dr. Baer, my experience dealing with troubled teens has shown me that there's a virtual one-to-one link between negative behaviors in these kids and what they're being entertained by, particularly music. What's been your experience?
Well, my experience is I've been studying this for many, many years. I was head of the TV departments at City University of New York in the late 70s, And by that time, there were 17,000 studies. And then I was head of departments at Berkeley, and every university and school in the world is doing studies. So by the time I got to being head of the department at Berkeley, Senator Lieberman from Connecticut said there were 500,000 studies. And every year, the congressional office on these things comes out. And out of those 500,000 studies, I guess this is the better way to summarize it, 99.99% show the influence of the media. And of course, the media believes that there's an influence of the media, otherwise they wouldn't do advertising on the Super Bowl or whatever else. So, you know, there's something like $54 or $74 billion worth of advertising every year. Mm-hmm. I would love to see the networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and the movie company say, hey, guys, don't bother to advertise because we can't sell your product.
Well, how come these studies, the results of these studies, don't seem to be getting into the hands and before the eyes of many parents? Because I deal with tons of parents regularly, and they don't seem to have a clue as to what is happening here as far as affecting the brains and the emotions and the behaviors of their kids. They're not connecting the dots.
Well, many years ago, I wrote a book called The Culture-Wise Family, and before that, The Media-Wise Family, teaching people how to be media-wise. Mm-hmm. When I was at City University in New York, we had 60 professors come together to develop the first media literacy course. And the phrase that I use is that the media controls the culture and the culture elects the politicians. But the media controlling the culture is something that you have to analyze. I mean, if you remember, there's a guy named Al Gore who has gone off the deep end in terms of environmentalism, but his wife was trying to take on the music industry.
I remember that.
And when he was, and this is what you're talking about, and when he wanted to run for election, I think some of the music industry determined, some of them I know and like, called him to L.A. and they said, you got to stop your wife. And the next day she stopped. That was the end of it. So, you know, it's like doing a demonstration in Washington. You know, if the demonstration doesn't appeal to the sensibilities of the media, even if you have a couple of 100,000 people, they're not going to report it. And if it's not reported, it never existed. So the problem with these studies is getting around the gatekeepers, and that's why I'm glad for what you're doing with this radio program, because you're actually helping people hear the truth that'll set them free from the bondage to the mass media of entertainment.
No, thank you very much, but that's exactly what we do here. We understand the power of it. And I think the proving ground at Shepherd's Hill Academy is, you know, gives us the impetus to do this, because we see what's happening with these kids. And when they live in the woods with no, you know, digital technology, you can see the change right before your eyes. It's absolutely incredible. Mm. But we scream and we moan about, you know, violent video games and the effects of movies on our culture. Statistics show that violent crimes are actually down, however. So can you reconcile this? What's going on there?
Well, it's just like the unemployment figures. You know, the part of the problem is that the Census Bureau has been taken over the White House.
So
they're not reporting all of the figures. And part of the problem is that people have left the workforce. So the Wall Street Journal just had a big thing, says, where are all the workers? And they showed a lot of empty seats. So it's the same thing with crime. A lot of the crimes are not being reported. Mm-hmm. And you've got to remember, once upon a time, I was with the U.S. Attorney's Office, Southern District of New York, and Giuliani came in, and for whatever we think of Giuliani, Ruby, he cleaned up New York by picking on the petty crimes. He found out that 90% of the people performing the petty crimes are also performing the major crimes. A Cambridge University study that came out last week showed the same thing, and it said that the moral plumb line, the moral values of these kids, that most of the crime is committed by a small group of kids. What we learn from the studies, and, you know, like the PhD student who shot up the theater in Aurora, Colorado, one is the more intelligent the individual is, the more likely they'll get their scripts of behavior and act out. Two, a lot of these people came from an evangelical home, went to an evangelical school, and was part of an evangelical church. So they weren't some strange gang member from some arcane rundown community in Detroit or whatever. They were people who grew up in, just like most of the people that we know within the church community. Number three is that we know from all the studies that there are four reactions to violence in the media. Number one is the 7 to 11% want to copy the violence. That has not changed. There's a significant percentage that doesn't want to copy the violence, that just wants to see more and more of it.
Right.
And they sort of, you could call that porno violence. They get addicted to the violence. There's another significant percentage that doesn't want to copy and doesn't want to see more of it, but they become desensitized. And then there's a group that just becomes afraid of the violence. For many years, some of the, and I don't want to put this in a negative way, but some of the people who were refuting or trying to refute the studies that were coming out of all the universities and out of Congress would say, well, there's an effect that the people exercise their violence by playing the game, and therefore they don't do it in real life. Well, that works for a certain percentage, but it doesn't work for the 7-11% who swagger out of the theater and then want to, or out of the game or whatever, and want to actually fulfill it. In fact, there's a new study that came out that a lot of the kids who are smart, who do it, the smarter they are, the more likely they are to copy the behavior, have done interviews saying, I didn't think the person was going to die when I do it on Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
I've got to shoot them several times. So we know so much about this topic. And there's a book that I did, The Culture-Wise Family, that gives a very good but in-depth worldview on all of this.
Very good book, too. You did that with Pat Boone, I think.
We got his name on there so we could sell copies.
I've had to talk to my kids, by the way, about the thing that you just mentioned, and that was the, gee, I didn't think it would happen in Grand Theft Auto. My children have played video games, and I know one of the features that they had on one of the driving games was that you could turn damages off. And, you know, that meant they could basically run into a brick wall in the car and not hurt themselves. And before they got their learner's permits, I had to say, now, you do realize in real life you cannot turn damage off. One of the things that, as I was considering Trace's, point and yours as well, Dr. Baer, about the fact that they may not act out these things, they're still doing damage inside themselves. And we see a lot of this issue of the desensitization that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. People who are basically on digital overload. They've been overly stimulated by violence, overly stimulated by graphic depictions of any number of things, sexuality and whatnot. It does desensitize them, and while there may not be a direct effect in that particular area of their lives, the desensitization carries over into many areas of their lives, does it not?
Well, you've asked a very important question. Number one, desensitization is not good, and we all have heard the case of the shootings at West Virginia Tech or in New York City, where the people stand around and watch the people being shot because they've been desensitized by it. Number two, although there is the group that just wants to see more and more, there are the people who are susceptible to that, who don't get the catharsis out of it, and the catharsis is used, that form of analysis, just to dismiss any influence. See, the problem is that 7 to 11% want to copy the violence. A study from Dartmouth, my alma mater, shows that 25% want to copy the alcohol or the drugs. And the joke I make is that I was a pudgy little teddy bear, so I got beaten up by the tall guy on camera. I still remember his name, Tony Gray, who used to beat me up. So my solution was the Dartmouth study solution of pursuing the drugs to take away the pain, because I wasn't a Christian until I turned 28 when I came to Christ. So some people are susceptible to drugs. Some people are susceptible to violence. Some people are susceptible to sex, about 31%. We actually know the percentage, and what I appreciate about these different susceptibilities. Some people are just susceptible to consumerism. Some people are susceptible to lying. I can tell you a lot of these stories, anecdotal stories, but what we notice is that, you know, that's why there's seven deadly sins, you know, and sloth is one of them. Gluttony is another one of them. So different people have different susceptibilities, and they're not all going to act in lockstep. And the interesting thing is that if you're not one of the 7 to 11% who are susceptible to violence, the other people say, oh, this doesn't have any impact. Well, it doesn't have any impact for you. If you're not one of the people who are susceptible to the drugs and alcohol, you'll sit through the beer commercial in the Super Bowl and not pay any attention to it, etc. Mm-hmm. So just because you're not susceptible doesn't mean that somebody else isn't susceptible. And the Bible's message very clearly is that caring is the only daring. You have to be caring enough to say, how can I help this person if that's their propensity, whether it's consumerism, gluttony, or anything else.
Well, what can the average parent do to effectively help change the way Hollywood, Madison Avenue, and the music industry conduct their businesses? Do the executives really listen? I heard a stat, maybe you can tell me if this is true, that out of 320 or whatever million people we have in America, only 619 complained to the FCC last year.
Well, the FCC is a little bit more removed by politics from complaints, but the movie companies are very susceptible. When we started, there was one movie with positive Christian content. Last year, it was 66%. This year, we've got one movie after another that's biblical-based, evangelical, Christian content, and we've shown them that they can make more money at the box office. So we've been able to touch their sweet spot, which is making money and do this detailed economic analysis. That the more patriotic they are, look at the last Captain America, which is extremely, it could be the Tea Party America. It is so conservative. So we've been able to influence the movie industry. Television is a little harder because they're influenced by the advertisers, and if they're advertising for drugs that increase your staying power sexually or whatever, that's going to be, they're going to dictate the content of that program. So you need to affect the advertisers by stop buying this stuff.
Right.
And the root of all that is that the person who is the most powerful person in Hollywood is the 12 to 24-year-old to go to movies. So if that person goes to Heaven is for Real this week, then it'll do well. If they go to some sleazy, miserable movie like Nymphomaniac, that'll do well. So you have a choice. Teach your kids how to be culture-wise and know before your kids go by going to movieguide.org.
G and R-rated movies, though, it kind of contradicts. Doesn't Hollywood make more money with G-rated movies than R-rated movies, but yet they still pump them out? Is there a conspiracy going on here? Is there an agenda?
Well, no. What it is that 60% of the movies are released by independents. That world of independents used to be controlled by Sean Penn or Oliver Stone. I helped finance his first film, et cetera, who were cutting-edge leftists and wanted to undermine the society. But those were independent films. The major studios released 40% of the films, and most of their films are like Frozen or Captain America. They want to reach a broad audience. They want to do a four-quadrant film. They try to move in a direction that will get more people, just like Heaven is Real was the number one movie yesterday and had a AAA rating. That's what they want. They want to get the audience. Of the independent films, though, the good news is that there are more Christians making independent films. We need more Christians in Hollywood and less Hollywood in the Christians.
Amen.
And that's what we do. We teach people how to make great movies, great entertainment, and to make a difference.
Let me jump in real quickly here. Dr. Baer, our time is getting away from us, and I know you've got a busy schedule today, but we need to take a break on the Licensed to Parent broadcast, and we'll do that right now. When we come back, I'd like you to address the differences between type A violence and type B violence, and I'm randomly assigning that, but one type of violence being the gratuitous violence that is so prevalent in many movies and television shows and video games versus the violence that we might see in movies like Glory or even in violence that we might find in the Bible. Let's dive into the differences between violence when we come back. You're listening to Licensed to Parent with our host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosl, and our special guest today, Dr. Ted Baer of Movie Guide. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face-to-face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting LicensedToParent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the family coaching banner at LicensedToParent.org. Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org, helpmytroubledteen.org. Welcome back to Licensed to Parent. I'm Rich Rosel with our host, Trace Embry, and our special guest today, Dr. Ted Baer of MovieGuide.org. And Trace, right before the break, I introduced this concept of there being perhaps two different types of violence.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Baer, many people argue that the Bible is filled with its own violence. Therefore, they feel justified in watching a Freddy Krueger movie or Oklahoma Jigsaw Massacre, or whatever the case may be. Can you explain the difference between the violence in a movie like Saving Private Ryan or Glory compared to the gratuitous violence of a Saw 3?
During the golden age of Hollywood, when Mr. Smith went to Washington, It Was a Wonderful Life and The Bells of St. Mary, you were allowed to have violence, but you weren't allowed to have violence portrayed in such a way that a susceptible youth would want to copy the violence. Mm-hmm. So showing violence, let's say in Gettysburg or Gods and Generals, as being the negative that it is, the kid doesn't want to copy it. Showing violence in a way, Antichrist or nymphomaniac or whatever, that it becomes something pleasurable and or even in some of the computer games we
rewarding
mentioned, is what moves kids in that direction. So it's being responsible, but we need to encourage the producers, the writers, the directors, even the independents, all those horror movies, most of them are independent films, to be responsible by not supporting the bad and the ugly, but supporting the good, the true, and the beautiful.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, God bless you for what you do. Thank you for being on the broadcast today.
Have a great day. God bless.
Okay. Well, our guest today has been Dr. Ted Baer, the founder and publisher of Movie Guide and chairman of the Christian Film and Television Commission. He's also the author of the book we discussed in part today, The Culture-Wise Family. You can learn more about all of his work at MovieGuide.org. Trace, some final thoughts on this topic. This is very near and dear to your heart, I know.
Yeah, it really is. I hope the listener hears what Dr. Baer was saying when he was talking about all the studies and the money that was spent on the studies, the conclusive results of the studies, they're all there. And that if someone is high up in the ranks as a Tipper Gore, gets their ears slapped back, these people don't want to bite the hand that feeds them. You get the lobbyist groups. And so there's money controlling money and money controlling power. And they're going to minimize the damaging effects of a lot of this stuff that our kids are seeing every day. To the point now where you've got, as we've mentioned before, Jay-Z and Beyonce being invited right into the White House. It's normalizing things that are so abnormal and so immoral, according to biblical standards. We have been desensitized to this, thinking that, yeah, we probably wouldn't shoot up a school, or we probably wouldn't do this or that or the other. But we're not all that shook up that somebody else might. And when a school, we find out, only has 7 victims, we're almost a little disappointed that we didn't break the record of 30-something. You know, it's kind of like, well, it wasn't that big a deal anymore. Whereas a few years ago, if one person would have been shot by a fellow student, that would have been, you know, national news. And so we have been slowly desensitized. We are in danger, Rich. I mean, we are just absolutely in danger in this area. Our souls, our physicality, our emotional status. We certainly see what's happening to the breakup of the family. And I blame a lot of America's woes on the things that we're being entertained by.
There's a very dangerous line that a lot of people have used, and that is, it's just a movie. It's just music.
It's just
whatever.
Yeah, it's just rat poison, or it's just an atomic bomb.
One of the things that I have said when describing Shepherd's Hill to other people is that this is a place where kids can have their brains reset to the original factory settings.
I like that statement, too.
And that's what we talk about here regularly on Licensed to Parent, and what we want to encourage you as a parent to do today. We're not saying that movies as a category are bad. We're not saying television as a category is bad, or that radio is bad. I mean, we're on the radio. We see it as a valuable medium. Mm-hmm. But there is bad in the imbalance. Even too much Christian radio can be bad for you, because what are you giving up to spend all of your time devoted to Christian radio, let's say?
Too much oxygen is bad.
Exactly. It's got to be in the proper balance. So what we want you to learn is proper discernment. Mm-hmm. The reason we pull the kids off of digital media for their time at Shepherd's Hill is not because we think it is evil necessarily,
right,
but it's to give them the chance to get their brains cleared, mm-hmm, reset, as Anne Frank was talking about, and also to learn discernment. So that when they re-enter the real world, they're properly exercising their brains,
right,
before putting more stuff back in.
And I think it's interesting that Anne Frank wasn't someone who was stimulated morning, noon, and night with Snoop Dogg, Eminem, or even just good music and entertainment and amusement with digital technology around. This is a girl who had time to truly contemplate the deeper issues of life, and I think she was 13 when she was killed.
And she did contemplate, and she did realize the validity in being still before God.
Rich, I'd like to just add one thing before we close out. In one sentence, if someone asked me what's healing the kids at Shepherd's Hill Academy, they're given the opportunity to acquire a biblical worldview. A biblical worldview is what's healing these kids.
Well, you can learn more about the work we do here at Shepherd's Hill Academy and about this radio broadcast, Licensed to Parent, when you visit us online, and we encourage you to do so, to go to licensedtoparent.org. As we've said before, you can find not only program archives, that's all of the past programs that we've done, also our one-minute daily features on parenting, but you can also sign up for our e-newsletter, and I want to encourage you to do that. It's called Insight for Today's Culture, and each week you'll receive in your inbox some great articles, plus links to videos that Trace has recorded and some other interviews that we've produced here to help you renew your mind and to reset your worldview to make it a biblical worldview. That web address, once again, is licensedtoparent.org. When you're there, would you also please prayerfully consider becoming one of our ministry partners? It takes a lot of money to continue the work of Shepherd's Hill ministering to teens in crisis. It also takes a lot of money to continue production for this program to minister to the parents of teens to keep them from becoming teens in crisis. If this radio outreach has benefited you in any way, would you help us continue by offering your gift of support? Tax-free donations can be made securely online when you click the donate button on our website at licensedtoparent.org. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you back again next week to renew your License to Parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.